I just went through it. Come to the bathroom with a plate. Finish putting it on there.
It's really going to come from.
Hi. Guy from Lakewood was arrested for having a wedding.
Okay, from Lakewood
was
arrested. How are you? Good to see you all.
What happened?
Right. I don't know what happened. We're all here and we get to learn together. It's great to see all these different people who are here. And we're going to start in just a minute. At that time, I'm going to ask everybody to mute themselves. Because I am not able to, I won't be able to do that. Okay, great. So we're going to start. If you have questions, you're welcome to post.
All right, start it.
Or you can raise your hand at the end. You can raise your hand during. We'll be great. This is also available on Facebook Live. It's going to be starting in just a moment.
How do you raise your hand?
You figure it out. You'll work it out. Don't worry.
Or do you want to chat?
Right.
Where you can. Where are you? Are you muted? No. No.
Okay, I think we're going to start. If I could just ask everybody to please just mute yourselves right now. The mute button is in the bottom left corner of your screen. You just have to mute. Click in the bottom left corner and that will mute you. Oh, everybody's doing a great job at this. Excellent. Okay. Okay. So if you have not yet muted yourself, just try to take a second to do that. Again, it's the button at the bottom left corner of your screen, and that way everybody will be able to hear. Okay. Baruch Hashem, he's beseder. Okay, we'll start. And if you're not muted, you'll figure out how to do it as we're going along. I don't have muting ability right now because I'm not officially the host. And it's great that we're all hosting it together. Okay. So tonight's here is a kosher Pesach. We've been giving this year for many, many, many years. But I would say that this year is probably different because we're going to be experiencing it differently. A lot of people who were planning on going to their parents who weren't able to are now going to be making Pesach in apartments or homes that they weren't expecting. So our goal, I'm going to tell you a story. A couple of years ago, Shoshana told me I could share this story. Shoshana was sick right before Pesach. I think she had the flu or something, so a couple of years ago, and she wasn't able to prepare at all for Pesach, and I was not around during the day. And what we decided was that I would be responsible for making everything ready for Pesach, kashering the kitchen, cleaning the apartment, everything. And I had one day to do it, and it's possible. You just have to do it smart. You have to do it the right way. So we're going to try to work on exactly the ways to do that. Okay. Okay, if you're not on mute, even if on your phone, if you could just mute those, there's reverb, which is really fantastic, but it will make it easier for everybody to hear. If you are on mute, either on your computer or on your phone, if you just mute it, it will be much easier for everybody. Okay.
That's what he's.
Okay, so let's start talking about what it means to prepare your home for Pesach. So we're going to be starting mostly in the kitchen, And we're going to be talking about the different areas of the kitchen and how you kosher each area and what the best order to go in and what you need to do. So basically, there are two ways to kosher something, and depending on what the object is, you'll have to kosher in a different way. And anybody who's prepared for Pesach before, kosher before, knows exactly what we're talking about. Basically, there are things that become, let's say, chametzdik or not kosher through fire, and there are those that become chametzdik through liquid, like water, and those are koshered differently. So let's say a oven. So an oven, when you bake in your oven, you bake cookies, there's no liquid in the cookies, so they're just the cookies on the cookie sheet sitting on. So that is a dry heat, and that would need, and that's the most significant, the most severe type of blia, of absorbed taste. Because the rule is that the way that the taste got absorbed into the utensil, that's how it needs to be removed. That's called kibbol kachpoto. So therefore, the only way to remove something that became chametzdik or not kosher through a dry heat was also through a dry heat. So that's going to need libun gomer. So we're going to get to the applications in just a second, but in the most basic form, so let's say you had a baking pan. The only way to do that is actually to make it so hot using a fire itself that incinerates any taste that's absorbed in it. Okay? That's called libun gomer. The other form of koshering is called hagala. Hagala is when something became chametzdik with a liquid. So let's say you cook noodles in a pot. So the taste goes into the pot through a liquid, and the way it is removed from the liquid, again, is always the same way it's taken out, is the way that it went in, is by hagala. So you boil a big pot of water and you dip your pot into the big pot of water. Now, each of these has different pratim, different details that we need to discuss. So let's talk about libun first. So we said that libun gomer, I mean, you put it straight into a fire. The idea is basically you go into a kiln. You put it in your self-cleaning oven. It goes up to 900 degrees, and any oils that are in there are incinerated. So because it incinerates whatever taste is in there, so it doesn't matter how clean it is, it doesn't matter how it got there, it doesn't matter what it tastes like. You take the baking pan, you put it into your self-cleaning oven, and you turn it up to 900 degrees, which is a self-clean cycle for about 3 hours, and any taste, any absorbed oils or particles will be incinerated. It really works. I've tried it all different types of ways, and anything that's in there will be incinerated, as we all know. Now, because of that, you don't need to wait before you do it. So let's say you use your oven to bake a cake, and then you want to self-clean it. So then what you do is you just turn on put on a self-cleaning oven. Anything that's in there, even if there's a little bit of crumbs on the bottom, those will be incinerated. That's called libun gomer. Now, there's a lighter form of libun, which is called libun kal, light, LTE, which is the lighter form. It doesn't go to 900 degrees. It goes up to, let's say, 550 degrees. And that is hot enough not to incinerate oils which are on the surface, but it's hot enough to burn paper, that if paper would touch the pot, so then the paper would ignite. That's called libun kal. And that's used in certain types of circumstances when you're really stuck. We'll talk about which circumstances those are, but I want us to know what the examples, what the opportunities and options for kashing are. The most extreme is libun gomer. That's like a blowtorch, a self-cleaning oven. Below that is libun kal, the flame, but it's the lighter form. And that goes up to 550 degrees for about an hour. And we'll talk about when that would be used and when applied. And then there's the second form, which is the liquid form of kashering. That's hagala. So either dipping something into a boiling pot of water. So let's say you have a pot that was used for noodles that you want to kasher. So you boil a gigantic pot of water and you dip the pot in. That's the standard option. Or let's say it wasn't used directly, like a pot that was put on the flame with water, like a noodle pot, But let's say you took oatmeal and you scooped it into a bowl. And this bowl is a metal bowl and you want to kosher this metal bowl. So that really doesn't need necessarily the full Haggadah because it wasn't boiling with chametz on the fire. It was just poured in. That's called Irik Kli Rishon. And in that type of case, what you would do is you would, instead of dipping it, you don't have to dip it into the pot. You could pour the hot water onto the bowl. Again, if the bowl was metal, and that would kosher. So those are the four, those are the two categories. Each one has a subcategory. There's Liban Gomer, that's the incineration, that's a self-cleaning oven, that's a blowtorch, which has a Liban B, Liban Light, which is called Liban Kal, which is 550 degrees. That's the dry heat type of koshering. And then there's the wet heat type of koshering, that's Haggadah, things like pots that had chametz cooking in it, matzo balls and noodles and all those types of things. So you would boil a gigantic pot of water and dip it into the boiling pot of water. Or if it only had a secondary, it was poured on, the chametz was poured onto the bowl or something like that. So then you could kosher it by pouring boiling water onto it. Would you want to kosher, let's say you're koshering in a large pot. So the minhag is to use a Pesach dikka pot to kosher it. It doesn't really, really, really need to be a Pesach dikka pot, but that's the old minhag. If you have a very large pot that's for Pesach, that's the better one to use. If you don't have a large enough Pesach pot, so you can use a chametz pot, either milchig or fleishig, and we'll discuss that you have to wait 24 hours before koshering anything with Haggadah. If you have any questions at this point, just put them into the chat in Zoom or the comments in Facebook, and I will address them as we're going through this. Okay, so the next point that we're gonna talk about for 1 minute is when you kosher with Liban Gomer, when the self-cleaning, you don't have to wait 24 hours. You use it, and then you wipe out anything that's there, and you just turn on self-clean, and that will work, and that's fine. However, if you use any of the other ones, either Liban Kal, which is the 550 degree for an hour in your oven, or Haggadah, dipping in boiling water, or Irik Kli Rishon, or pouring boiling water on it, depending on what it is, you need to wait 24 hours before you kosher it. So let's say you cooked noodles on Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and then you washed it out. So then you have to wait 24 hours and you cannot kosher it by dipping it into boiling water until 4 p.m. on Friday. The same thing is true if you're gonna kosher it using 550 degrees, Liban Kal, or Irik Kli Rishon. And we're gonna get to this when we get to sinks, when you kosher a sink. It's very important to remember this when we get to sinks. Okay, I see we have a question about ovens. We will get to ovens later on in the show, pretty soon, but later on in the show. Okay, so let's talk about what we're gonna do is, I think the plan is to do first ovens, then sinks, then counters, then fridges, then microwaves. And then at the end, we'll get to things like silverware and pots. Okay, so let's go through ovens first. We'll go through the easiest ones first and then the most difficult ones. So like we said, the most intense form of koshering, we said, is, everybody answer? That's right, Rusty, I saw you say it. Liban Gomer, which is the self-cleaning, raising the temperature to 900 degrees, which incinerates any taste which is absorbed. That is if that's an option, it's the easiest one. So if you have a self-cleaning oven and you want to kosher it for Pesach, so all you do is clean it out. I mean, you don't want any major spills on the bottom because you'll cause a grease fire on the bottom. But you clean out whatever you can. And then you turn it up to self-clean, you lock the door, come back 3 hours later, and it's completely kosher for Pesach. Now, you can put other things in there while you're koshering it. For example, you can put in your racks, the racks for the oven. So you just leave them in, kosher it at self-clean, and come back, and it's kosher. You can also put the grates from the top of your oven. You can put those in while you're self-cleaning it and come back and everything is kosher for Pesach. Now, we all know, actually, some of you have not kosher for Pesach in a long time. That's why we're so interested in this shiur. So there are people who are concerned that if you self-clean either the racks from your oven or the grates from on top of your oven, it will damage the finish. And I've heard different reports. Some people say it's true. Some people say it's not true. Some people say my grates didn't get damaged. Some people say they did get damaged. Okay, there are different reports on whether or not they'll get damaged. So therefore, you might not want to put them in. So what we're going to also talk about is other ways of koshering the grates, other ways of koshering the racks inside the oven. But the oven itself, if it's self-cleaned, it's very simple. You just wipe out whatever's in there, turn it on to a self-clean cycle, and then it will be kosher. Great. Let's say it's not self-clean. I know somebody who last year had a self-cleaning oven, and this year doesn't have a self-cleaning oven. So what do you do? So you don't have the option of leaving gomer because you can't take a blowtorch to it. We don't do that anymore. In the good old days, they would have blowtorched it. Not an option anymore. So what do? So you clean it really well with Easy Off. And the purpose of the Easy Off is two purposes. The first is to remove any mamashus, any ba'en, which is stuck to the bottom or the sides. You want to really make the bottom smooth. So there might be stains on the metal, but there's no like caked on junk. And it's stuck to the bottom. So you use your Easy Off as best as you can. That's the first reason. And the second reason is that we any taste which would be absorbed, which would be nifsa, would be pugum, which would be rendered inedible through the chemicals in the Easy Off. Now, we don't, nobody likes Easy Off, nobody likes the smell, nobody likes the experience, but it's very effective in destroying the taste of any chametz. So you clean your oven with Easy Off. And then you turn it on to its highest setting, which is usually either 500 or 550. Put it in with the racks. Put it in for an hour and a half. It will get up to 550. And like we said, that's hot enough to ignite paper. If paper would touch the walls, it would ignite. And that's called Liban Kal. This is not the better way for two reasons. First of all, it's not as simple as the self-cleaning. It's also not as thorough. The self-cleaning is preferred when possible. If you don't have that option, so you just, again, you clean it with Easy Off, put it on 550, put it on for an hour. But remember, since you're not doing the full leave-in, you have to wait 24 hours. So let's say you want to cook for Pesach on Sunday night, you have to make sure that your oven is not being used 24 hours, meaning Saturday night, is not being used. A good option would be to kosher your oven Motzei Shabbos, because if you don't use it over Shabbos, let's say, try not to use it over Shabbos, so you cleaned it out before Shabbos, so it's already clean, you wait 24 hours, Shabbos, and then you can just clean it Saturday night, put it on for an hour and a half on 550 with the drawers, with the racks and the grates inside, and everything would be koshered. That's self-cleaning ovens and now not self-cleaning ovens. We'll just talk about, is broil and 550 the same? I don't know. However high your oven goes, that's how high it should go. Can you do your racks on 550 and the oven itself on self-clean? Yeah, that's a great option also. You can self-clean the oven and then put the other things in a 550 so that you don't damage the enamel on the racks of grates. That's also a fine option. Warmer drawers cannot be koshered. They don't get hot enough, so therefore they can't be koshered. You just clean them out, make sure there's no crumbs in there, and then just don't use them over Pesach. Make sure that they're not open and nothing gets in there. Fine. I'll tell you, one year I was doing the Dikas Chametz, and I found stuff in our warming drawer that the kids had put in there. So just the drawer that goes under the oven, so just when you're doing Bikas Chametz, make sure to check over there. Just another point for self-cleaning ovens, make sure that the the vent at the top of the oven is not covered with aluminum foil or anything else, to make sure that the heat escapes. Otherwise, it's really it can be very dangerous. How long on 550? 550 for an hour, hour and a half. The grates have to be at 550 or 500 too. Yes, when you're koshering anything in the oven, it has to be at least 500, 550. Really, if preferable, it's preferable to do it at self-clean. But if you can't do self-clean, it has to be at least 500, 550 for an hour, hour and a half. 500 for an hour, we'll let it go. But really, it should be 550 for an hour and a half. If you're going to do the grates separately, does it matter if they're done before or after the self-cleaning? As long as your oven is clean, it doesn't matter if you do it before or after. I think there was a question here that I missed. Hold on. The ceiling of the oven. There's nothing really there on the ceiling of the oven. I've baked many, many times. And unless you have like an explosion of the oven, you don't have anything really up there. Just do your best. Take your easy off. Take whatever Ajax, whatever it is, and do your best to get it off. Sharon does not believe me that there is nothing at the top of her oven. I can't tell you for sure. I've never seen the ceiling of your oven. But I would guess that there's probably nothing up there. Again, somebody just repetition. If you don't want to put your grates or your rack into a self-clean, clean them very well with Ajax or with Easy Off, and then put them into your oven at 550. We're going to talk about the grates on the top in a second. Okay, any other questions quickly before we go on to stovetops? Do you have to clean the broiling section? Meaning if you have a separate broiling drawer, do you have to clean it? If you're going to use it over Pesach, you would need to clean it and kosher in exactly the same way that we spoke about. How long at 550? An hour and a half. For the racks, for the oven, for everything, an hour and a half. Do you have to clean with Easy Off and wait 24 hours, then turn on the heat? Or wait 24 hours? No, first the Easy Off, then wait 24 hours, then the heat. Clean, wait, and then the heat. But again, if you're self-cleaning, you don't have to wait. Okay, if there are any other questions, just put them in. We'll get back to them in a second. Let's get to the stovetop. So we spoke about the grates, and the grates can be koshered by putting them into the oven with the self-clean. They can be koshered by putting them into the oven at 550 as long as they're clean. What's another option? I'll tell you the option that I actually choose. It's a simpler option, but we were talking about ovens before, so that's why I mentioned it before. Another option is that what's the way that the grates would become pesachdik? So they're on the fire, right? They're heated up by the fire, and then something comes onto them from the pot, which is cooking. So we said that the way to kosher something is the way that it became not kosher. So another option is to heat up the grate with the flame of the burner. This is what I do. So you take your largest burner. On our stove, there are three different sizes. So you want to use the largest burner. And you put the grate on the largest burner. You put a pot on top of it, put some water in to make sure that the heat stays in. It doesn't just dissipate into the room. And turn the heat up to the highest it goes for 25 minutes. And that will heat up the burner hot enough to kosher it. This is easy. It doesn't matter if you use a Pesach pot or a Chametz pot because you're not koshering it with the pot. You're koshering it with the flame. You don't have to turn the grates upside down. You just use them regular and heat them up like that for 25 minutes on the hottest one. Now, what you should do, we also have like a small flame that doesn't heat up anything that high. Like you put like a pot of water there to make noodles and you come back 45 minutes later, it's still not boiling. So don't use that one to kosher. You should shift the grates around so that they're above the highest one on the largest one, and then heat it up for like 25 minutes on the highest flame. Let's talk about continuous grates. Each grate for 25 minutes. Yeah, exactly. If you can do them at the same time, that's also good. It's just that we only have one really large flame. Let's talk about continuous grates. So if you're really fancy, So you don't have just grates where the fire is, because what if you want to have a grate where there's no fire, right? In the middle of your stove, there's no flame. You want to have a grate there anyway. We call that continuous grates, and that's for really wonderful and fancy people. So those grates cannot be koshered in the way that we're describing, because the flame doesn't heat up the middle part. So the only way to kosher those would be in the oven, like we described, either at a self-cleaning temperature or at the 550. Okay. So that's the grates, which are the most sensitive part, of the stovetop. What about the other parts of the stovetop? So there's the pan that goes underneath the flame, there's the area in between the grates. What about those types of things? So the pans underneath the flames do not need to be kosher. They're just there to catch anything that falls off. Anything that falls there should not be in. So you just clean it really well, and that's fine. So just take it out or scrub it with a sponge with some Ajax, and that's good enough. It does not need to be kosher. What about the area in between the grates? So the truth is that doesn't really need to be kosher either, because nobody puts their, there's some cute kid on, good for you. Nobody puts food on the area in between the grates. So you're not really koshering it for purposes of putting food there. You're koshering it either because a pot goes on there or because something spills on there. And so what do you do in that case? So what you can do is, so we said that if it's not directly on the flame, like a bowl, so you can pour water, boiling water, over that area. So what you would do is, if you wanted to kosher the area in between the grates, you have grates over here, grates over here, and that area in between, like the aisle, so you can pour boiling water. It means you take a kettle, boil the water, so it's actually bubbling, and then pour it over the entire area, not just like in the middle, let it spread, but actually pour the water over the entire area. We'll get more to erythrimation later. That's one option. It's not the option that I personally do or I prefer. I prefer to just cover it with aluminum foil. It's just so much easier. You don't have water everywhere. You don't have to be concerned what's going to happen with all that water. Who knows what kind of dirt it's going to bring out from under the oven. I just cover it with aluminum foil, and that's good enough. But some people don't like aluminum foil. They want to use, they want to kosher by pouring it. That is fine. Do you have to wait 24 hours for the grates, if they're in the flame anyway? So for the grates, you do not need to wait 24 hours, but for the center of the stovetop, which we're pouring the boiling water on, so that you would need to wait 24 hours. Do you have to, what do you cover with aluminum foil, the whole area under the grates? Yes, you wanna cover with aluminum foil the actual top of the stove, meaning the aisle in between. And if you wanna also cover the area under the grates, you can as well. You don't have to, because nothing that falls there is ever going to be used again. But you can kosher that area under the grates as well. Okay, let's talk about glass top stoves, like electric stoves. You know, if we were all in person, I would ask you to raise your hand if you have, no, let's do that. Raise your hand if you have a glass top stove. Yeah, I see that, Alicia. Alicia has a glass top stove. So how do you kosher that? So you can't, the truth is that they really can't be koshered. So what do you do instead? What you should do is turn the burners onto their highest setting. So those will go up to 1,000 degrees, 900 degrees, 800 degrees. That will kosher that scent, that circle part. But you can't really kosher the glass part. So what you want to do is make sure that any taste that's absorbed in the glass pot, from noodles that spilled, oatmeal, pancakes, anything that's spilled on there, doesn't get reabsorbed into the pot. So what you do is you want to raise the pot off. So you take something like a trivet. There's, you can get on Amazon, something called a pot razor. I don't remember what it's called. It has something, it has a name. It's just like a metal disc. And you get a metal disc that's smaller than the circle on the stove itself, and then you put the pot on top of that, and that saves you from all different issues. So again, if you have a glass top stove, turn your burners onto their highest setting for 20 minutes, and then you want to raise your pots. Anyways, a glass top stove has been doing this for years, so it's not going to be an issue with that. If you have an enamel top stove, that can't be kosher, so you just have to cover it with aluminum. how do you kosher the metal, we have a question, how do you kosher the metal part underneath the continuous stove grates next to the burner? Anything under the grates does not need to be koshered because anything that falls there is not going to be reused. So you don't have to do that. If you have aluminum, if you have a gas stove, aluminum catches fire, is covering a nest or water necessary? I'd say be careful. But if you're concerned about a fire, that your aluminum catches fire, which I haven't heard of, so no, you don't really have to. Just rub it well with Ajax and then understand that the center of your stove is not kosher. And it's chametz thick, and if you put a pot there, you're going to have big problems. And if food falls there, it's going to be not kosher. So just make sure, do the best you can. We will get to hot plates soon. Okay, any questions on stovetops or ovens? We want to go back to ovens. So if you have any questions on stovetops or ovens, now's the time to put them in. Checking if on Facebook anybody has a question. Facebook people never ask questions. They don't have questions. Do you need to cover the dials on your range? So technically speaking, no. But one of the terms that I've learned is something called high touch areas. Now we're talking about sanitizing high touch areas like doorknobs and light switches and things like that. So the knobs of your stove or the buttons on your stove are high touch areas. So if you have chametz there from last week and then you touch it on Pesach, you're going to have chametz. You're going to have chametz on your hands and then you can get mixed in food. It's a big problem. So what you want to do is you want to clean anything that you would touch, the dials, the knobs, really well with something like Ajax that has like a bleach in it and that will destroy the taste in any chametz. But you do not need to cover them. You definitely don't need to kosher them. If you want to, you can. If you've been doing it for years, call a kavod. Continue that. But it's not really necessary. Okay. So that is ovens and stovetops. Now, those are actually the simplest things to kosher. We have more to go through. But those are the simplest because they actually have fire in them. So just it makes it very simple. The question is, let's say you have continuous grates between the two flames, so you can't kosher that area between the two flames because it doesn't get hot enough. What you should do is you can either cover it with aluminum foil, but what I would actually recommend is koshering it in your oven, either on 550 or if you're brave, on 900. Okay, so that brings us to sinks. Sinks are very sensitive to the kashrus of chametz and everything else. And the reason is because they have heat and liquid. So they have all the worst things that can make something not kosher. So all your sinks are chametz. So we have to figure out what to do about a sink. So let's assume you have a stainless steel sink. Not because nobody has enamel sinks. Alicia, do you have an enamel sink also? Not even Alicia has an enamel sink. Okay, so let's assume you have a stainless steel sink. So how are you going to kosher a stainless steel sink? So let's think, ready? We're all going to think. What's the way that it became chametz? Did you cook your chametz in your sink? No, of course not. You spilled out your noodles, and you weren't holding the cover careful enough, and all the noodles spilled into the sink. So now you have chametz pouring into your sink. It absorbed the chametz was through a pouring of hot chametz. So the way you remove it is also through pouring on boiling water. So what do? So you always go through the same steps. First step is clean it with Ajax or soap, something like that. Really clean the sink really well to get out any mamashas, any residue of chametz. And then you have to wait 24 hours. 24 hours. Thank you for mouthing that. Yes. You wait 24 hours. Now, during that time, the 24 hours really means, most technically, not to use it with anything hot. But I would recommend if you have multiple sinks. I don't have multiple sinks. I have one sink. So during that 24-hour period, you can still use it for cold water and for cold water for non-chametz. So cold and not chametz. You can't use it for anything hot, and you can't use it for chametz. So you clean your sink, you wait 24 hours, and then you want to pour boiling water all over the sink. Now, this will take a couple of pots of boiling water, because again, we said you don't just pour it and let it spread. You actually have to pour the boiling water directly over all the different areas. So that's what you would do. You would boil a pot, a kettle of water. Kettles are better for pressuring sinks. They make it much easier. And pour the water on the section. Let's say you start from the sides, and then you have to even the sides of the sink and the faucet, and then go to the bottom and the drain. Make sure that everything is cleaned really, really well. Now, here is a pro tip. Now, we said you have to kosher all the burners, all the grates on your stove, which means you have to burn them, you have to burn them four separate times. If you're boiling multiple pots of water to kosher your sink, what you can do is you can heat up the first kettle of water on one burner, and then when you heat it up the second time, move it to a different burner so that you kosher the next burner with the second kettle. The third kettle will kosher the third burner. That's what we do. And here's a pro tip from my mother. You want to hear a good one? So my mother says that when you kosher your sink, the sink not only becomes kosher for Pesach, it also becomes parv. Now, who has a parv sink? That's a luxury to have a parv sink. In my apartment, we have one sink. Imagine having a parv sink. No, nobody ever has a parv sink. This is the only time of the whole year they have a parv sink. So my mother recommends, first, after you kosher your sink, don't make your brisket right away. First thing you should do is make the parv foods that you need, and then you'll be able to put all those parv dishes in the sink, wash them, whatever it is, your sink is still parv, and then make your fleishik stuff afterwards when your sink becomes parv. Okay, so we spoke about how to kosher a stainless steel sink. Just we realized that there are cracks where the water is not gonna be able to kosher. So what you should do is you should really either tape those over or clean them really well with an Ajax with bleach. What I use is stainless steel with the soap in it, you know what I'm talking about? The stainless steel that comes pre-soaked, that's all, because it really scrubs it out, and it also has the soap, which is pogan, which destroys the taste. And I use that in the sink and in the drain and in the cracks and everything, that's where it goes. That's if you have a stainless steel sink. What about the racks? The racks in the sink cannot be koshered, so you just have to get new racks for Pesach. Let's see. What questions did I miss? You can have a non-Jew clean your sink, your apartment, whatever it is, as long as they're still coming into your homes during this time of year. Let's see what else we got here. We're gonna get to cutlery soon. Let's see. So hold on one second. You should replace the drain catchers if you can. Yes, I did mean Brillo. Thank you, Sharon, for reminding me what it's called. Not called steel wool, it's Brillo. Is an instant hot hot enough? I don't know. The water actually has to boil. What you could do is you can use your instant hot and pour it into a pot and then just put it on the stove just to make sure it's actually boiling. We'll talk about instant hot on Pesach when we get to talking about urns. We'll get to porcelain sinks. Anybody ask about porcelain sinks? Again, the pot is preferable, does not have to be for Pesach, but it's preferable if it can. Can you use any pot? Yes, any pot that hasn't been used. Again, the pot that you're pouring the water from, the pot that you're doing the dipping in, has to have not been used for 24 hours. It can be any pot, it can be fleishig, it can be milchig, as long as it hasn't been used for 24 hours, preferably a pot that's for Pesach, but if you're stuck, it does not have to be. Let's talk about enamel sinks. Let's talk about enamel sinks. So there are people with enamel sinks, and they also need to make Pesach. What do you do? So you go through the beginning of the process the same way. You take your Brillo or whatever you use to clean it, a sponge with Ajax, you clean it really well, scrub it down, make sure everything is clean, leave it for 24 hours without using it for anything hot and not using it for anything chametz, and then pour boiling water on it. That part's the same, but because it's enamel, which is very questionable whether it can be kosher, you need to kosher it three times. So you pour boiling water on it three times. So you go all the way around once, twice, three times, and you also need to cover it, either with a sink insert or people use contact paper. I've never actually seen an enamel sink kosher. So I don't really know what it looks like. Oh, it's not true. I take it back. Shoshana's parents have enamel sinks and they use, don't tell her I said that. They use sink liners. Okay, do you need to kosher your bathroom sink? I don't think so. No, that's an unnecessary chumrah. I do not recommend koshering your bathroom sink. You don't have to kosher anything in the bathroom. How do you kosher the faucet? You do not have to dip the faucet in boiling water. Just when you're pouring the water over the sink, also pour it over the top of the top of the faucet. Shoshana showed me they make sleeves to cover the handle of the faucet. You don't need a sleeve to cover the handle of the faucet. You don't need a kosher the handle of your faucet. It's enough just to scrub it down really well. You should replace the drain catchers if possible. I don't recommend koshering it because you can't clean them well enough. What if you're using a non-kosher pot, but you already kosher the oven and stovetop? Okay, so if your pot is, let's say, a chametz pot, and you already koshered your stove, it's okay to cook water in a pot that has not been used for 24 hours on a grate which has already been koshered. It does not make your grate chametzic. It doesn't affect your grate at all. Any other questions about koshering sinks or stoves? Now, if anybody had any trouble with the chat and they want to just ask the question now, you can unmute yourself, ask the question on sinks or stoves.
Yeah, you just put an insert in the sink that is in an enamel or stone sink? Just get an insert, a big plastic bin.
Right. So why is the insert not enough? Alan's asking. So it's a great point, because the reason is that when you use the insert, Alan, you ever used an insert?
I have not personally, but I have been in places where they have.
Okay, so what you have in an insert, you have significant backwash.
The sink is a lot.
Right, so you have backwash. You have this pool of water that's underneath the insert, which backs up all the way to the top. It happens all the time. It's very disgusting. But it also has kosher issues because that is connecting the enamel sink, which was not koshered, with the dishes that are above the... which are above the insert. So you have to do both. You have to pour the boiling water three times and you need to use the insert. Right. Okay. Great. Here's the question. So the answer is no. The 24-hour wait is very, very, very important. We are very strict with the 24-hour wait. So you just have to be really smart about it. But what you can do is, and this is what we do, like when you want to wash dishes, during that time, so somebody asked about koshering the bathroom sink. You don't have to kosher the bathroom sink, but you can wash your dishes in the bathroom sink, and that way you can use hot water during that time. Just don't use it in your kitchen sink. Fine. So we spoke about sinks and faucets and stoves and ovens. Let's talk about counters. So the counters that can be koshered basically are stone and formica. Formica is a form of plastic. Not everybody thinks you can kosher plastic, but that's the general practice, that you can kosher plastic, certainly on a counter. So how do you kosher plastic? So it's the same thing as the sink. The only problem is that the sink has a drain and your counter does not have a drain. So what do you do to kosher a counter? So the first step is always clean it well with some sort of caustic or cleaning agent, like something with like Ajax with bleach. Clean it really well. Wait 24 hours, meaning don't use it for anything hot or for chametz for 24 hours. And then you pour boiling water over it. Now we said the water has to pour over all the parts of the counter. I've done this a couple of times. It is a tremendous mess, a tremendous hassle, so much so that I stopped doing it. And for the last, I think, 2 years, We just cover our we cover our counters with aluminum foil, and it just, it's so much easier and so much better. But to each his own. So if you want a kasher by boiling water, that is the way to do it. You clean it well, you wait 24 hours, don't use it for anything hot or for chametz for 24 hours, and then you pour boiling water all over it. What about steam? That is the really big question this year. What about steam? So the answer is that technically you can kasher with steam. The way steam would work is that if you had a steam machine, so it would spit out steam, that steam would condense on the counter, and then the steam that continues to come out would actually boil the water, which is now condensed on the counter, which is the equivalent of pouring boiling water on it. The issue is that you need a very powerful, there's two issues. First of all, you need actually to go at a speed that you're actually boiling the water on the counter, which is heating up the counter and heating up the water. People have showed me different steamers that are like, they're these tiny little steamers. They're just not going to work. They're not going to be good enough. I spoke to somebody once. Let me see if I can share my screen. Yeah, here we go. So I found this steamer. This is, everybody sees the steamer? Yeah, nod if you can see it. I'm not sure if you can see it. But if you can see, the steamer that I put up from Kohl's, this is the one that the post can recommend. It's very expensive, it's $140. It has a lot of steam, it has a very large reservoir, and it's big enough that it can actually kosher the counter very effectively. If you have something that's smaller, if you're really careful, so you can still do it. You still need to clean it well, wait 24 hours, and then you have to use your steamer to make sure that you can actually, you have condensation on the stone or on the formica, and then it heats up the water, that the water is actually reaching something like 180 degrees. Okay, Shoshana is raising money that we could buy a communal steamer. Okay, great idea. Okay. If you have a professional steamer, that's great. Why 180 degrees? That's like the temperature of like boiling water of Erichli Rishon. Okay, and if you have one that you're going to lend out, you can let us know. You can post it on the WhatsApp chats, or you can post it over here. Okay, any questions on counters? Quartz is good enough. Quartz is stone is good enough. How do you cover with aluminum foil? So we buy heavy-duty Reynolds aluminum foil. We try the cheaper one. It doesn't work so well. We buy heavy-duty Reynolds aluminum foil, and we put on two. You clean the counters, and then just cover it twice and tape it down. That's great. And there was another pro tip that somebody gave me, that when you cook, put down newspaper first so that you just throw out the newspaper. You don't have to clean the aluminum foil, because it's not so easy to clean aluminum foil. How do you make it stay? You take the blue tape, and you just tape it on. That's what it does. It takes 20 minutes to cover the whole counter. It takes less time than the pouring, much, much neater, because you don't get water all over things. It doesn't damage your cabinets, which boiling water can do. It's not as pretty, but you know what? Especially this year, I think we're all looking for shortcuts, and that's what I plan to do. That's what I recommend. Let's get to the fridge. Yeah, let's get to the fridge. Yes, Alon says you should be careful, use two people and many towels. That's great. I see on Facebook, I didn't share the link for the steamer. I'll just tell you what it's called. It is called the MCCULLOCH, McLulloch Heavy Duty Steamer. That's the one that was recommended. It's very powerful, and it makes it much simpler. Okay. What about your fridge? So a fridge does not need to be koshered. It just has to be cleaned really well, because you have tons of crumbs in your fridge, tons and tons and tons and tons and tons. So just clean it really well. Empty it out. Take some soap and water. Just scrub it down as best as you can. You can clean the top two, three shelves for Pesach, and then leave the other ones not clean for Pesach. Whatever you keep there, we'll discuss at a different time. And maybe you want to clean them next week. That's also fine. What about, I want to go back to something for sinks that I forgot. Some people are away for the first days, so they figure they'll kosher their sink right before Pesach. Sounds like a great idea. The halacha is that koshering needs to be done before the time that you're, during the time that you're still allowed to eat chametz. Once you're not allowed to eat chametz anymore, you're not allowed to kosher anything with boiling water or with pouring water. So it has to be done before, that time. So just remember that all koshering needs to be done before, let's say, 10:30 on Wednesday morning. So you have to stop using your stuff by 10:30 a.m. Tuesday morning so that you can kosher it on time. Again, we said your fridge, just clean it really well. Your ice tray, I don't recommend using ice trays on Pesach because they just get so many crumbs. It's not worth it. Your water dispenser. I assume your water dispenser does not have any crumbs that can get into it, so that's not an issue. Do you need to cover the shelves of your fridge? You do not need to cover the shelves of your fridge. I believe they tell you not to. It messes up the air circulation in your fridge. Really clean them very well, really, really well. That's what you should do. You don't have to kosher the underside of your counters, I think that was the question. You should just teach your kids not to wipe their hands on the other side, underside of the counters. And then after you teach your kids, you can come over and teach my kids that as well. Why do I not recommend the ice machine? Because the ice machines that I'm thinking of are open into the freezer and they get a lot of crumbs. They like draw crumbs from the open freezer area and they can get stuck in there. And I just find them very difficult to clean. If you think that you can get it super duper duper clean, then I guess it's okay. I wouldn't recommend it. I would just get an ice tray. I don't recommend lining it with foil. I don't think so, because if there's one crumb in there, it's not going to be buckle. And it's just not, I don't think, I'm not such a fan of ice trays and your ice machines and your freezers. In fact, I removed ours from our freezer. But if you can get it really, really clean, theoretically it's fine. That brings us to fridges. What about microwaves? So microwaves, you actually need to be, if you're going to kosher a microwave, which is, if that's what you want to do, you would clean it really well. Microwaves get really gross. You have to clean the whole thing. I would say, Sharon, here you definitely have to clean the top. Clean it really, really well, all the cracks, all the crevices, wait 24 hours. And then you want to clean it with steam. You boil water for like 6 minutes, take a microwave-safe bowl, fill it up with water and boil it for like 6 minutes. That will fill the whole area with steam and will kosher the walls of your microwave. But you need to replace the table with things like the glass tabletop. You just take it out and take a microwave-safe plate and put that down instead. That works just fine. I've done it many times. And that's koshering a microwave. Sasha wants to know if you can keep chametz items in your fridge. So let's get to that. Let's get to that right now. So you can keep chametz. Look, you're not allowed to own chametz on Pesach. It's mamish aser. You're not allowed to own it. However, if you sold it to a non-Jew, so let's say it's a lender's bagel, do those still exist? Do they still have lender's bagels? Yeah, we do. Okay, let's say it's a lender's bagel. So the non-Jew bought it, he doesn't want you to leave it out. It's going to spoil. So you have to freeze it. You're responsible for that, kind of. So what you should, you're not, I take it back, you're not really responsible for it, because then you'd be chai b'achrayos and it'd be aser. But you should leave it in your freezer. You should tie it up really well. It should be completely covered. You don't want to be in a situation where you accidentally took the chametz cookie instead of the Pesach cookie. The things that you can get rid of, I would say get rid of even this year. But you can keep them in. They have to be super duper clearly marked. wrapped up and taped over, and like so that even the kids who are wiping their hands on the counter don't accidentally take anything from there. Let's see. Do you need to cover the window of the microwave? Some people say, I've heard such things because they're glass. I don't think they've made microwaves with glass windows in a long time. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think you have to cover the glass, the window of your microwave. Does the bowl need to be kosher the Pesach? Again, we said if you have a kosher Pesach bowl, that's better. Either way, it should not have been, it should not be used for 24 hours before, fleishig milchik, whatever it is. It should not be used for 24 hours before. You cannot kosher the glass plate. We'll get to that in a bit. But just like we said, by the glass stovetop, you can't kosher glass. Glass is not kosherable if it was ever used hot. So therefore, you have to replace the plate in your microwave. Let's see. Any questions that we missed? Okay. We're going to do dishwashers, and then we're going to get to actually people who are koshering pots and pans very specifically. So can you cover the plate with saran wrap? I guess if you double wrapped it with saran wrap, that would be fine. Dishwashers. Can you kosher a dishwasher, assuming that it's stainless steel and not ceramic on the inside? So most people assume that you cannot. There are those who say that you can. What I usually tell people is that if you koshered it last year, you can kosher it again this year. If you didn't kosher it last year, I wouldn't start this year. That's what I usually say. How would you kosher it? You would clean it really, really well with that Ajax, scrub it down, make sure the whole racks are clean and the walls are clean and the crevices are clean, and then you'd run it on its high, leave it for 24 hours, and then run it on its high setting. Once through, some people do three times through, to do the best you can. I don't recommend it because there's still little pieces of chametz that get stuck in there. But if you've done it in the past, so then you can continue to do it. What about this year? What about this year? Maybe this year is different because the reason you didn't do it in the past is because you went to your parents or your kids. This year, you're at home because you're at home. You've been at home for the last 3 weeks, and you're going to be at home for the next bunch of weeks as well. Is it worthwhile to rely on it? It could be. I'm happy to discuss each case privately. But you kind of get the idea that it's not preferable to kosher dishwasher, but it is possible according to some opinions. Any questions before we get to cutlery? Yes, repeating glass. You cannot kosher glass. The reason you cannot kosher glass is because we treat glass for the most part like clay, like china, which like mugs, which cannot be koshered. Once the taste is absorbed because it's porous, it cannot be removed. So therefore, we don't kosher glass. I do not recommend koshering toaster ovens. It's just too fraught with danger that they're going to be low. They're used for bread all the time, and we know how dirty they are. I don't recommend koshering toaster ovens. And just in general, is it exactly the same for Pesach and koshering from a treif dishwasher? The answer is no. We're much stricter for Pesach because if there's even a little bit of chametz that's somewhere in there, it can make everything treif. As opposed to, let's say, you know, there's a tiny piece of grease from a non-kosher hamburger that got in there, it will not make your entire set of cutlery not kosher. What about in the bathtub? So you can't, the thing with the bathtub, I don't know if people still do this, if you have cold glassware. So let's say you have your glasses and you want to use them on Pesach. So they're only used cold. So then you can kosher them in cold water by soaking them for 72 hours, 24 hours at a time. You fill up your bathtub with water, put all your glass in there, which sounds incredibly dangerous to me. I don't know why anybody would want to put glass into their bathtub. But let's say you do that and you fill up with water and then you drain all the water 24 hours later, fill it up again, drain the water, fill it up again. You can do that. But that's only for glass, which is used cold. A grill cannot be koshered for Pesach. It's questionable whether or not you can kosher for other things, but I would not kosher a grill for Pesach. You can also put the glasses in a bucket if you're worried about stepping on them in your bathtub. I guess that's also true. And a Rubbermaid tube. That would, all those things are great ideas so that you don't step on it. A Rubbermaid tub, also a great idea so you don't end up stepping on those glasses in your bathtub. Okay. What about koshering silverware? So I would say like this. If you stay home each year for Pesach, I wouldn't recommend koshering silverware. I would say buy a set of silverware and just keep it for Pesach. What if you have silver, you have real silver that you want to kosher? So the first step is you have to make sure it's super duper clean. Now, as clean as we think our silverware is, if you look really closely very often, there's that wonderful gunk that's stuck to like one side of the fork or the bottom of the knife or something like that. All that has to be completely removed. So you would have to kosher your silverware really, really, really well. You'd have to clean your silverware really, really, really well to make sure that there's no residue on the silverware. And then what you would do is you would take a pot, preferably a Pesach pot, fill it with water, cover it, put it on your stove, let it boil. So you want to take a really big pot so that it has a lot of heat and let it boil so that it's actually bubbling. Take off the cover and drop in the silverware one at a time. Now, as you drop it in, the water is going to drop in temperature and it's going to stop boiling. At that point, you cover it, let it boil again, and then you continue dropping in the silverware one at a time. Once you've completed this process with your silverware, you now very carefully take it to your sink, pour it into your sink, and run cold water over the silverware. It's not just that you don't burn your hand, that's actually part of the koshering process. One of the things that you can do is that while you're koshering your sink, you can first kosher your silverware in a big pot, or your bechers, whatever it is, and then use that water to kosher the sink. So what you did in one pot is you koshered the grate under the pot, you koshered the silverware in the pot, and then you poured it into the sink and you koshered your sink as well. Okay. That's how you would kosher silverware. So again, you clean it really, really well. You clean it really, really well. And then you wait 24 hours. And then you dip it and you drop it into boiling water. And then you pour the boiling water and then you use the cold water. The pot that you use to kosher the silverware does not need to be kosher the Pesach. It does need to have not been used for 24 hours. If you have a pot that's kosher the Pesach, that's preferable. Do you need to replace the dish racks of the racks that go inside the dishwasher? Some people who kosher dishwashers recommend replacing the dish racks so that you make sure there's no little pieces of chametz stuck in there. It's a good idea. We all know that the racks that go inside dishwashers are pretty expensive. So I don't know if it's absolutely necessary. If you've done that in the past, so I guess you wouldn't be asking this question. Again, the pot that you're boiling, so either pour on the counters, pour on the sink, dip your silverware in, dip your pots in. It does not absolutely need to be a Pesach pot. It's preferable to be a Pesach pot, but it should not have been used for 24 hours. Okay, so the silverware and the pot should not have been used for 24 hours. That's koshering silverware. What about koshering pots? So if it's a pot which is used with liquid, like a saucepan or a soup pot, something like that, so then you take the pot, and you wait 24 hours, you clean it, you wait 24 hours, and you dip it into boiling water. If it doesn't fit, so you can do half of it in the boiling water for 5 seconds, so it gets really hot, take it out, dip the other half in. It can be dangerous. You have to be really careful that you don't burn your hand when you do these types of things. Another thing that you want to keep in mind is that the pot needs to be completely clean, which also means that if you have rivets in your pot, it's hard to know whether or not there's anything stuck behind the rivet. So I actually brought a pot to show you. Here, this is our, you see that? Todd, you're looking really closely at this pot. So this pot, which is our milchig noodle pot, so you see there are rivets on the inside. Now it's possible that there's some chametz stuck underneath that rivet, so it's not perfectly clean for when we kasher it. So what you would need to do is, in that case, is you want to burn out, you want to do libun, some sort of, you don't have to do real libun. You want to burn out those rivets. So what you could do is, zoom, you can see it. You take like a candle or a cigarette lighter and you hold it underneath the rivets for like 10 seconds so that it gets really, really hot. And that will pasture that area, and then you dip the rest into the pot. If it's a one-piece pot, for example, if you have a cast iron pot, so then the handle also needs to be kashered. If it's a two-piece pot, like this one, so then you don't have to kasher the handle, you only have to kasher the pot itself. Yeah, cast iron pans, though, we'll get to pans right now, pans, like frying pans, cannot be kashered. And the reason is because it's the, we said that if it's a wet heat, so you kasher it by dipping it in water. If it's a dry heat, so then you have to put it in the self-cleaning oven. If you have a frying pan, unless it's cast iron, it cannot be put in a self-cleaning oven. And it can't be put in boiling water because it's not really used with wet heat, it's just used with a little bit of oil on the bottom. So therefore, frying pans cannot be koshered. Glass, we said, cannot be koshered. Anything that can't really be cleaned well can't be koshered. But the other pots can be. And again, you just dip it into boiling water. You can put your cast iron into a self-clean. I've done it myself. You just need to make sure that afterwards you re-season it. Which means to rub it with oil so that it doesn't rust. In fact, the truth is when you buy a new cast iron pan, you actually need to kosher it before you use it because the oils that they use to season it in the factories are not necessarily kosher. So you buy it, kosher it, season it, and then tovel it in the mikvah. Any questions on koshering? Pots, pans, things like that. This is Debbie Stuppelman is pointing out accurately that Hagala is not the same as Tevil and Mikvah. When you total something in Mikvah, the handle needs to be in, everything needs to be in all at once. When you kosher something in with boiling water, so you don't have to kosher it all once, you can kosher it in parts. So you stick half the pot in, leave it there for 5 seconds, take it out, rotate it, stick the other half in. You have to make sure that the entire part, all the different parts of the pot were in the water as it was boiling. Can you fill a pot with water? No, because the outside of the pot also needs to be kosher. There's discussion about making it overflow. We don't do that. You just take a really, really big pot and you kosher it in a really, really big pot. Okay, so we spoke, okay, frying pans, we said baking sheets. Cannot be koshered because you'd have to put them in a self-cleaning oven. I don't think that a baking sheet would withstand the heat of a self-cleaning oven, but an iron cast pan will. It will just need to be re-koshered, re-seasoned, which needs more oil on because that's the whole point, right? You destroyed all the old oil. What about, getting back to a barbecue, can you kosher a barbecue? So again, you can't really kosher a barbecue for a couple of reasons. The first is that barbecues don't get clean enough to really kosher them. Secondly, there are too many cooking surfaces. It's not just the grates, but there's like, it's like the bottom would need to be koshered, the walls, the top, it's too much. It's not really possible. You can put a cast iron pan in a self-cleaning oven. It will incinerate the seasoning that's in there and it will become kosher and parve. An electric kettle. Okay, I'm not sure what the kettle question is, but I'm sure you'll figure that out. Can you double foil on a barbecue? Is that a thing? Maybe in California, but if you double wrapped like a potato and put it on your barbecue, I guess that would technically be okay. I don't recommend it because you'd be using a non-kosher chametz stick of barbecue to cook your thing, even if it's double wrapped, it's just not a good idea. If you mean laying down two rows of aluminum foil, that would not be okay because there would be too much transfer between the walls and their cover and the bottom. It wouldn't work. Okay, so we did microwave, sinks, counters, fridge, dishwasher, ovens, stoves, pots, and pots and silverware. Yes, okay, good. Let's talk about urns. What about urns? So the halacha is that if your urn is only used for water, so then it's really just a Pesach urn. It's not a chametz urn. But it's on your counter with all that stuff. So what you would do is you would scrub it really well. And then I would just kasha the tap of the urn, just in case I used it for oatmeal or something like that. So just scrub the whole thing really well and then pour boiling water over the tap. If you used it to heat up like challah, let's say, this, we've done this, so you have an urn, it gets hot, you want to heat up the challah, and you put your challah on top, so that's not that urn is actually chametz thick, in which case it can't really be kashered. So you'd have to not do that. What about an instahat? So an instahat, I think what that means is like, you know, it's a faucet that has boiling water. So that would be the same as an urn. I would kasher the tap, the faucet by pouring boiling water on it, but the water itself is fine. I don't know whether or not you're allowed to use an yantif because I don't have one. I would assume that you could not use an instant hot on yantif itself. I assume that has an electric sensor and ignition and all those different things. Okay. That is the cold water. Your cold water, just clean it really well. If it's refrigerated, you might not be allowed to use it on yantif itself or on Shabbos, but it does not need to be kashered. When you pour water out of an electric kettle, water cools down. So how long do you have to pour over the sink before reheating the water? When you pour your water out of anything, it's going to cool down because it's no longer on the fire. But as long as it was boiling 3 seconds ago and then you pour it out, so then that's fine. So the same thing would be true in the electric kettle. Let it boil. The water there is 212 degrees and then you use it right away. And that's good enough. Great. Any other questions? You can unmute yourself if you don't know how to make a comment and you want to ask a question. Hot plates. Excellent. Hot plates. Thank you. Thank you to those who I asked to remind me about hot plates. So blech. So your blech and your hot plate, basically what you can't really kosher those because they're either because they're big or for all different reasons. What you would do for a hot plate, but let's go through a blech first. We're talking about the metal sheet that goes directly onto the flames. Just scrub that really well. So like make use your Ajax and a sponge or Brillo, get off everything on it, and then double cover it with aluminum foil. If your aluminum foil rips over Pesach, just replace the aluminum foil, and that's good enough. So you're not really koshering it, you're just not using it directly. You're covering it. You're covering it with 2 layers of aluminum foil, and I say the same thing with a hot plate. Clean it really, really well, like a plata. Clean it really, really well, and then cover it with 2 or 3 layers of aluminum foil. But just be really careful that you're covering it in the right places and it doesn't overheat. A lot of them have vents on the side. Just be really careful if you're going to cover a hot plate. So if you're using a steamer to kosher a counter, so yeah, this is the point. The counter actually has to be heated up to really significant temperatures. Yad Soledet, 160 degrees. So you have to go pretty slow, that the top of the counter actually reaches 160, 170, 180 degrees. The steam certainly reaches that temperature, but the counter itself has condensed water, which is heated to that temperature, and then the counter gets that hot. So you need to, you have to go really slow. If you get a really high-powered one, it makes it easier. You don't need to even get a new Brita for Pesach. Just use cold, just scrub it down really well, and that's fine. You should not use your KitchenAid mixer on Pesach. There's nothing more chametz-stick than your KitchenAid mixer. So even if you could really get that bowl clean, but like paddle and then everything, there's like so much chametz in there. Do not use your kitchen mixer for Pesach.
I've seen an iron used to kosher a counter.
I've heard of such things. I can't tell you whether or not it works. I don't know. It sounds like you could electrocute yourself. I think they actually have a warning on the iron with a picture of a guy koshering his counter with water, and they say, don't do this. If you check the box, I think they have a picture of it.
Right. What about the cast iron frying pan in a non self cleaning oven? Can you get
that? No, that won't kosher. That's in the self cleaning oven.
Okay.
Okay. How long does the counter have to stay hot for? It doesn't have to stay hot for a certain amount of time, but it actually has to be heated to that time. Silestone is a composite type of stone. It can be kosher just like the other forms of stones. That granite that can be kosher, but if you have a ceramic or a tiled countertop, you would not be able to kosher that. Okay. You can kosher your blech in your oven at 550 if it fits, but I think they usually won't fit there because it fits on top. But if you have a small one, so then it can fit. Let's talk about tables. What do you do about tables? Tables are not really chametz because nobody pours chametz directly on their table. But what you should do is you should just clean it and then cover it with a tablecloth. I recommend using a non-absorbent tablecloth underneath your regular tablecloth on Pesach so that if something spills on your tablecloth, it doesn't soak through to the table, which may have had some chametz on or something like that. So what I do is we use a plastic tablecloth and then a cloth tablecloth on top of it. Your tablecloth does not have to be kosher for Pesach. This is actually like a halach in Shulchan Aruch. It just has to be washed in hot water with detergent. Unless there's like stuff stuck on it, so then you shouldn't use it for Pesach. But otherwise, your tablecloth does not need to be used. If it's cloth, it does not have to be kosher. It does not have to be Pesach tablecloth. If it's plastic, so I think those don't get clean enough. And I think if you have a plastic, like those non-absorbent tablecloths, you should get a separate one for pizza. That covers all of the koshering things that I want to talk about. You can keep your table covered with Pesach. Oven mitts, you should have Pesach oven mitts. You should not use your chametz oven mitts because you get like pieces of chametz that are like crusted onto those. They can't really get cleaned well enough. So you get new oven mitts for Pesach. You can dry clean your tablecloth if you want to, that's fine. Even if you put your plastic tablecloth in the washing machine, I don't think that it gets clean enough. I think it comes out with like pieces of chametz still like a residue on it. Hand towels do not need to be kosher for Pesach. You can just like a tablecloth, just wash them in hot water with the detergent. Is there going to be koshering in shul this year? We don't know yet. Right? Do we know? We don't know yet. Corona is a very, very serious illness. I have a Rebbe. One of my Rebbeim is hospitalized right now with Corona. Rabbi Goldman, Yishai Refuah Shleima. And we don't know that koshering is something that can be done responsibly. So you're really going to be responsible to do it in shul. We're happy to direct you. We can have one-on-one Zoom sessions to help you out. But I don't count as of now on the shul having a koshering. If you need to buy a couple of extra pots and pans for this Pesach, that might be a good idea too. Do you need to cover the sides? Oh, you have to cover the top and the bottom of the blech? No, it's okay to just cover the top of the blech. Can you use a chametz bottle opener on Pesach? I wouldn't use a chametz bottle opener on Pesach. Because again, like you can have something get stuck in there. What's the deal with the kalimic with respect to Corona? What I understand from Dr. Aaron Glatt, the director of infectious diseases at Jacoby, I think, he says that it's no different than any, the water itself will not transfer the virus. Just have to be careful that the surfaces are clean. You should wash your hands with soap before you go. You should put on gloves. You should throw out all your garbage, wash your hands afterwards, and then you can total your dishes. In the mikvah. You can also go to the ocean if you feel more comfortable with that. It can't go to be a river. It has to be an ocean. I had a long conversation with somebody whether or not the Hudson River is a river or really the water comes from the ocean. Online, I don't know. But you're supposed to go to the ocean. Okay. Your tablecloth needs to be cleaned in hot water. If it's not hot water, so then you should use a different tablecloth. Can you kosher a sous vide machine for Pesach? So I don't recommend it because you would have to actually consciously, you said like the whole thing has to go into the water. And if you put your whole sous vide machine into boiling water, it will break. So I don't think you can kosher your sous vide machine for Pesach. Do you need a new broom? You don't need a new broom, but often there are crumbs in that broom. So like when you sweep next time, you're trying to clean up the matzah, and you're adding some crumbs, that you weren't able to get out. So I wouldn't use I think it's a good idea. Shoshana, we have to remember that. We have to get a new broom for Pesach. You can use your dustpan, though. I don't think that's a big deal. If you have stains on your tablecloth, so then I have no problem with using stains on your tablecloth, as long as it's not any caked on chametz. Okay. A wine opener. We have a separate wine opener for Pesach because I think like it's in the drawer with other stuff and you have crumbs there. I wouldn't do it. Okay, let's get to just the last couple of things. So one question, does wine opener have to be tovel? It does not. So if you're worried about going to the mikvah, but you want to use your wine opener, you can just get a new wine opener. It doesn't have to be brought to the mikvah. Let's talk about some products. So frozen fruit for Pesach need to be kosher. They need to have hashgacha, but they do not have to have special kosher le Pesach hashgacha. So you get, let's say, ShopRite strawberries with an OU. They don't have an OUP. That's not a problem. However, vegetables, frozen vegetables, cauliflower, broccoli, whatever it is, even if it has a kosher hashgacha, it needs to be kosher le Pesach specifically because very often before they're flash frozen, they are they're blanched with hot water and flour. So like when you buy your frozen broccoli, they actually have already cooked it in flour. So your frozen vegetables need a special hashgacha for Pesach, but again, your fruit just needs a general hashgacha. It doesn't need a special Pesach hashgacha. Formula in general is kidney oat. As long as it's a kosher formula, it's kidney oat. If it's non-kosher formula, so then it continues to be not kosher. Pet food is going to be an issue. If you have pet food that's chametzik, so you have big issues, you should speak to me because not only are you not allowed to eat chametz, you're not allowed to benefit from chametz. And one benefit would be feeding your animals. So if you have an animal that eats chametz pet food, so often you can just switch it to another pet food. If not, we can talk about other things. Right, you can get grain-free, gluten-free, organic, and all other types of wonderful pet foods, which are kosher for Pesach. They don't need a Pesach hashgacha. They just can't have grain in them. If you're lactose intolerant, you can have regular lactate milk. Just buy it before Pesach. There is an enzyme, I believe, which is derived from chametz or something like that, but it's batel as long as you bought it before Pesach. Paper towels and other things are fine. If you have open spices, I don't recommend using spices on Pesach. You should get new spices for Pesach. You can order them from Target and they will deliver it. What we do is we always have two spices. Like you have the regular yearly on pepper and then you have the pepper that's still left over from Pesach. And you want to know why there are two bottles of pepper. And then the next year there are three bottles of pepper. Because that's how it is. Yes, you get new spices for Pesach. Fresh vegetables. Okay, so let's say you wanted to get a cut squash or those fresh cut vegetables. So those are fine. I recommend buying them before Pesach. I wouldn't buy them on Pesach, but you should buy them before Pesach. Again, obviously spinach, you're going to have issues with bugs. You just have to be careful. Lactate pills are not kosher for Pesach. They have chametz in them. You're not allowed to take lactate pills on Pesach. But again, the lactate milk you can use as long as it's bought before Pesach. Non-ground spices like cinnamon sticks, I still wouldn't recommend it. Regular milk, all you should get, so let's talk about regular milk. So It's best to buy kosher Pesach milk or Chol Yisrael milk, both of them are kosher Pesach. If you cannot, you can buy your milk before Pesach. Usually, milk is available kosher Pesach. I don't think most places you don't have an issue, but if you don't have regular kosher, if you don't have milk that's kosher Pesach in your area, you can buy regular standard milk. I think they do add vitamins A and D, but you should buy it before Pesach. I never heard that there's an egg shortage. I think the chickens haven't heard of that either. But if you think there's an egg shortage, can you buy eggs on Pesach? I heard there are no eggs in Stop and Shop. Okay. It's better to buy your eggs before Pesach. If you weren't able to buy your eggs before Pesach, it's okay to buy them on Pesach also. Vitamins. Vitamins need to be kosher to Pesach. There are people who send me a list of their vitamins. Okay, there are no eggs in key food either, so don't go there for eggs. Vitamins need to be kosher to Pesach. If you need somebody to look into, if you need somebody to look into where the which vitamins are kosher, which can be used, I'm happy to, if you just send me a list, I'm happy to look into it for you. Quinoa should only be bought with a kosher to Pesach certification. And I will just remind you to make sure to check during Bedika, to check all the different places and make sure to clean your car and your baby carriages really well. Oh, so let's talk very quickly about cleaning for Pesach. This year is very stressful, especially for people who have kids at home. So I'll tell you about that time that Shoshana was sick and I had to do everything on my own. So there, you don't need to vacuum your rugs for Pesach. You don't need to go through your clothing and your drawers for Pesach. You have to check the places where there's chametz. So under your kids' beds, you are chayev to check under your kids' beds for Pesach because there is probably chametz there, you just don't know that it's there. You are chayev to check in your fridge and your oven and your cabinets and all the kitchen is where you need to check in your dining room and the cabinets in your dining room where there might be chametz. But places where there's never chametz brought, like the drawers of an adult's bedroom, where nobody puts chametz in those things. You don't need to check them. You should open them up during the dika very quickly, but you don't have to clean them out. When you want to clean, you want to get rid of your chametz, so you want to go through all your cabinets, gather all the chametz, and put it separately. Gather all the kitniyos and non-kosher Pesach stuff, put them on a separate shelf. So all your non-kosher Pesach stuff is in one place or a couple of places. It's covered over. You tape over those cabinets. Any cabinet that you're not using over Pesach, that just has like pots and pans, you don't have to check it. You just take a piece of tape, cover over that cabinet. This saves a lot of time. A lot of places where we're checking are not really necessary. Like I know somebody who wanted to know if they need to get a new dog bowl for their dog because their dog eats chametz during the year. You don't have to check your dog's bowl for chametz, and you don't need to get your dog a new bowl because your dog it doesn't have the problem of absorbed taste. You just have to make sure you're not feeding your dog chametz on Pesach. So try, before you check a new area, ask yourself, is this a place that chametz was brought and I'm going to use on Pesach? So your linen closets and your clothing closets and a lot of the drawers in your room, the bathrooms, these don't need to be checked for Pesach. You want to focus on your preparation for Pesach in the kitchen and in the dining room. The couch has to be vacuumed well because, yes, there are going to be Cheerios under your couch and inside the cushion. There are. There's like a whole breakfast box of cereal in between the cushions in your couch. So that needs to be checked. Your pocketbooks need to be checked. Your knapsacks, your carriages, your cars, all these things need to be cleaned. These are places that chametz goes and where you're going to be on Pesach. I think that basically wraps up what we're talking about. It's been one great ride. I'll just end with a great kula. If you are stuck at home for this Pesach and you really wanted to be someplace else, something like that, and you want to use paper dishes or plastic silverware over Pesach, feel free. I commend you for making your Pesach manageable. I want you to focus on your mitzvot. I want you to focus on making sure that you don't eat chametz and that you everything is kosher. But if you can find a way to make your Pesach simpler, please do. And if you know somebody else who also is stuck at home, meaning anybody in America, make sure to give them a call. We have a list of volunteers who are calling many of the old, all the older members of our shul. If you'd like to join that, please, please contact me. And I'll just go through, there are a bunch of new questions that just came up. I'll go through those questions now. Let's see what we got here. Cleaning supplies. You don't need new cleaning supplies. That's fine if they're open. And eggs and milk. Again, if you buy them before Pesach, it's better to buy them with Kosher Pesach certification. Eggs, I don't think they come with Kosher Pesach certification. It's better to buy them with Kosher Pesach certification. But if you can't do that, it's better to buy them on Pesach, buy them before Pesach. If you weren't able to, so that's okay. You can, just regular milk and regular eggs you can get on Pesach. Can you use an electric hot plate? I think you can, but it has to be cleaned very well and double covered with aluminum foil. You just have to be really careful how you do it because you want to make sure that you don't cause a fire. Please be really, really careful. If you're locking up your chametz with your cleaning supplies, you want to use your cleaning supplies on Pesach, so I would say take out your cleaning supplies before Pesach. Oh, I lost all the comments. 1 second. Kasher and cutlery. Okay. I'll just one more thing. Oh, actually, we just got a text over here. Yeah, all types of. Some people ask about, let's say, other types of metals. Let's say you're. It's not stainless steel. What if it's cast iron? What if it's silver? Whatever different types of metals it is, as long as it's not coated, it's not enamel and it's not coated, you can kosher. It's just a regular metal. You can kosher it in the same way. I think that covers all the questions. I heard a SodaStream bottle. I know very little about SodaStream, but as long as it's really, really clean, that's fine. I would not use a coffee machine that you use during the year. I would not use it for Pesach, even if the coffee is kosher Pesach. Like, I have a coffee that I really like. It is kosher Pesach. I do not use that machine on Pesach. Some people would say that you should get a French press, especially for Pesach, because real coffee is French press. And just one last thing. Once we're talking about Zoom Shiurim, so Shoshana is giving a wonderful chabura for women on Wednesday night, and I'm not going to be able to be there. So if the women here are interested in that, the information is going to be shared, or really was shared by the RJC, or you can just contact Shoshana directly. And I think that wraps it up. If anybody has any questions, Rabbi Zirkin and I are available for the next 2.5 weeks to answer all of these questions. Oh, we got one more. How about kosher mechanic juice press on top of the juice of the press? I don't know. It's a good question. We'll have to talk about that offline. I'm not sure exactly what it is. Yes, and my mother just texted me. Ready? My mother, the one who had the great idea about, Debbie, you like that idea, right? About the power of sink. So my mother just points out that if there are some types of hot plates which are glass and cannot be covered. With aluminum foil. So don't cover those because you will break the hot plate. Okay, I think Oren's telling me we're done. You gave me the high five, we're done. This has been quite the long shiur. I know that a lot of people are not where they expected to be for Pesach. If you have any questions, please contact either me or Rabbi Zirkin, and we are happy to answer your questions. If you'd like to get involved with calling seniors or helping them out, get ready for Pesach. There are seniors who need help koshering. Please just let me know. And I wish you all a wonderful Chag Kosher V'Sameach, Kosher Pesach.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Ganach.
It's been our pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.